I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
It's that time, San Diego.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it!
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hard and working.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it! Right here, right now!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
Which culminated in him being placed on a non- football injury list.
Excuse me, did you say culminated?
And Chris Ello.
Bubkas. Absolutely Bubkas. Nothing.
Didn't don't know what Bubkas is, but
Bubkas is nothing.
Yeah,
Bubkas. I'm sorry, Bubkas is nothing.
Gwen and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
Is it 2-0. Reach four, hit in the air deep down the right field line. Talkman going over towards the corner. He's looking up. It's going to go! Another home run for Fernando. His eighth of the season. Took advantage of that Petco Park down the right field corner. It was way up. Somebody out there said too high, but it wasn't. 1-0 San Diego.
Now, first base umpire got that one right. That was a fair ball, actually, unlike the potential grand slam hit by Darren Ruff on Friday night. That was a fair ball, then a foul ball, and turned around the entire series in favor of the Padres. They take 2 out of 3 from the San Francisco Giants. Welcome in to Gwen and Chris, everybody. Very happy Monday to you. 3:01 is the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park, where he's getting ready to call tonight's game between the Padres and the Pittsburgh Pirates. Tony, how are you today? Hope you had a good weekend.
I did. It was quick and had some wins in it. It was good. All in all, it was a good weekend. How about you?
Pretty good. You know, when you look at the series between the Padres and the Giants, it really came down to a matter of inches. I mean, you can almost take out Saturday night's game, although the Padres put that one away a little later with 3 runs in the 8th inning. They won comfortably. The Machado home run, Blake Snell, solid 5 innings, and good work from the bullpen, especially Emilio Pagan and Austin Adams on Saturday night. Both of them looked very sharp. And then yesterday was just one of those games that belonged to the Giants pretty much all the way. After the Tatis home run, Joe Musgrove, who has been so brilliant in the month of April, finally had his first little hiccup on the mound. Talkman got him for a 3-run homer, and that game belonged to the Giants. But the Friday night game, that was like October baseball once again. And we've seen it so many times in the month of April already, Tony. And I think this is what I love about this team and this ownership and this front office and this management and this ball club, because they have put themselves in a position to play important games, even in the month of April, and games that have a little extra drama to them. And we're lucky to be part of this. I mean, the Padres, their fans, we haven't been treated to this kind of fun stuff for the last 20 years. This is a little bit, you know, kind of new to us, and I'm really enjoying it. That game Friday night obviously turned on the grand slam that wasn't. It was correctly called eventually. But the game's a matter of inches. I mean, if that ball stays fair, who knows, the Giants win that game and they win the series. But that's what's making it fun right now. So much drama so early in the year.
Yeah, and I hope everybody keeps that same energy when the Padres maybe lose the same series 2 out of 3 as opposed to winning the same series 2 out of 3. You know what I'm saying? Because that hasn't changed from the time the season started. I mean, honestly, the Padres faced off against the Diamondbacks in the first series. They pretty much disposed of them. But those, even those games were close games, right? And then they moved on to the Giants. They lost 2 of 3. They head out on the road. They sweep Texas. They split with Pittsburgh. Then they ran into the toughest part of their schedule, at least in April, right? Dodgers, Milwaukee, Dodgers again. You split 1-1 with Arizona. Then you take 2 of 3 from the Giants. And I think, yes, we have not been privy to this type of baseball this early, but that's really contingent on a couple things, right? The Padres have a good team. I think, at least in April, the National League West was a little tougher than I think maybe, with the exception of the Rockies, than everybody thought. I think for the most part, out the gate, people thought, oh, two-team race, Padres, Dodgers. What we're finding out is that it may be a two-team race, but the Giants certainly aren't going anywhere, and the Diamondbacks actually have played some pretty good baseball. So, yes, it's one of those things. The Padres have not played their best baseball as a complete unit yet. And yet here they sit pretty nicely after April, and a really, I thought, a tough schedule, tougher schedule than I think people initially thought in April.
Yeah, the one thing the Padres have in their hip pocket, no games played yet against the Colorado Rockies. And everybody else in the division has already beaten up on the Rockies. The Dodgers have pounded the Rockies. The Giants have owned the Rockies. And the Diamondbacks just got through taking 3 out of 4 from the Rockies. So, you know, it's amazing when you finish a series with the Rockies, you move up in the standings in the National League West. Well, the Padres haven't had that luxury yet. Eventually, they'll get their 19 games against Colorado, and they'll have their chance. You know, the other thing I want to point out,
they're probably making up for it, though, with the Pittsburgh games. They're getting double.
That's
Pittsburgh
true. They're getting a double dip of Pittsburgh. Well, they got to make up. They got to make hay on it, right? Because
right,
they only
right.
were 2-2 the first time around. So we'll see how they go in this series. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there's harder games. There's easier games for all the teams. The thing that I want to point out right now is the Dodgers. I mean, they get the bad news today. Dustin May going to undergo Tommy John surgery. He's gone for the season. Obviously, they have some other guys they can plug in there. Tony Gonsolin, and they could put David Price back in the starting rotation. They can do a few things. They still have a lot of depth. But they've lost 10 of their last 14 games, the Dodgers have. And they're just a game ahead of the Padres now after that. And I just wonder what the reaction would be here in San Diego, Tony, if 2 weeks from now the Padres had lost 10 of their next 14 games. I mean,
what the reaction would be.
Yeah, I know what it would be. It was already complete, utter panic, fire the manager, season is over, get rid of all these players. And that was when the Padres were just 10-10. So if right. they were to lose 10 of 14, you know, it's all part of working your way up to that championship level where all of a sudden every game matters a whole lot more than the one did last year at this time. And that's because you know you've got a contending team. And that's why I think we can thank the Padres and this organization for putting us in this situation. We probably care too much. We probably overreact to the negative too much. But in a lot of ways, that's the fun of it. I mean, you know what? We wouldn't have this fun if we were picked to be in last place. Believe me, the Rockies fans aren't sweating out every loss or every 0-for-10 slump that one of their players goes through, because it simply doesn't matter. But at least what the Padres are doing matters, and I like that right now.
Listen, I agree to some extent, but to a different point, if we here in San Diego are kind of known for the kind of like, when is it going to happen? Like, when is the bad news going to roll down?
Right.
Because that's what's happened, and that's where I think some of our fan base is. It's like when we have one of those bad streaks, it's like, oh, here we go. I knew it was coming. As opposed to what you're saying is the expectation is high and we just expect that we are going to go out and play well. I think there's a difference in the type of noise that comes from those two things. But you're right. Ultimately, the Pods are a good team. And I think what really shows that is this team hasn't been 100% healthy. They haven't offensively been clicking on all cylinders. But yet, despite the schedule they play, because really the only bad teams I would say that they've faced in this whole time is what, the Rangers and the Pirates at this point. Everybody else they've played has been above 500. whether you're talking about the Giants, the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, who am I missing?
Brewers.
Milwaukee.
Yeah.
All those teams are playing above 500. Two of those teams are above the Padres in the race. And so they played a legit schedule to start. And 16-13, when you consider that they've had a slew of different things happen, right? The bullpen started out the year injured, right? They didn't have the full boat that they thought they'd have, right? Then Fernando gets hurt. He sits on the IL for 10 days. Then you lose Morton Holmes for the season. Like, there has been so many different things, yet this team is still 16-13 with a chance to actually start setting themselves here against the Pirates. Because you mentioned it. They didn't play well against the Pirates last time, and people were hot about a 2-2 split in Pittsburgh. People
were
furious.
They were hot.
And so, you know, they got to come out and they got to play well here before this homestand ends against this squad right here. Because as you mentioned, you got to take advantage of the teams that you should beat on this schedule. I would say that the Pirates. Our team, they should beat on this schedule.
Yeah. Well, you talked about the Padres and the pitching staff not being 100%. I would say that the starting rotation right now is about 42%, which means three of the seven guys they have available are healthy, and the other four guys are not. I mean, you know, Denelson Lamet, Ryan Weathers, Chris Paddock. I mean, we've lost Morejon for the season. The only three guys that are going to the gate and making their start every fifth day are, thank goodness, Darvish, who's been one of the best pitchers in the National League, Blake Snell, and, of course, Musgrove, who's also been one of the best pitchers in the National League. But now the Padres run into a bit of a hiccup here. Miguel Diaz starts tonight. This is a bullpen night tonight for the Padres. That would be well and good if you knew who was pitching tomorrow night.
Exactly.
But we don't even know who's pitching tomorrow night. The Padres may know. They're not telling us. But it seems kind of doubtful that it's going to be Chris Paddock. It seems pretty doubtful that it's going to be Ryan Weathers. So who's it going to be? Mackenzie Gore, by all reports, just is not ready to pitch at the big league level. He's struggling and continuing to scuffle with his, whatever it is, his delivery or his location, something, whatever it is for Mackenzie Gore. He's not ready to go out there. So you're going to have a bullpen night tonight. You're probably going to have a pretty good bullpen night tomorrow night. And that's a tough way to start any series, even against the Pirates. So
the crazy part, Chris, is that there have been probably far more non-scheduled bullpen days than this organization expected when the season started. But under the circumstances, whether it was Morejon getting hurt or Snell not getting out of the first back in Pittsburgh, like, there's been a bunch of different things that happened, and this bullpen has been there each and every time. And they've been terrific through it all. My only concern is that it's been pretty high usage here in April.
Pretty
you just
much,
hope that
yeah.
it doesn't eventually come back to bite. You know, hopefully the depth is so good that everybody's able to kind of share the load there. But I mean, listen, Tim Hill. I feel like I see Tim Hill every other night almost, and he's been terrific in all of those situations. But you know, it's a long season. Those innings start to stack up.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys saw Pagan. He was talking about during that 17-17 stretch. That was difficult for those guys in the bullpen.
Oh yeah, no question.
And I'm not sure if they have another stretch like that, but the season goes to October, so you know what I'm saying. It's a long time to go.
Long way to go, and Padres will have a chance to gain ground on both the Giants and Dodgers tonight. Why? Because the Dodgers game in Chicago against the Cubs has just been postponed due to bad weather. The Giants game in Colorado tonight has also been postponed due to bad weather. So neither the Dodgers nor the Giants will be playing tonight. Padres could pull within a game of first place tonight if they win, but they're going to have to do it with Miguel Diaz and a bunch of characters in the bullpen. Eric Hosmer is going to get today off. Jay Cronenworth is starting at first base, but we'll have more on the Padre lineup when we come back. You mentioned an interesting name, Tony. That name is Tim Hill. I want to ask you when we come back, along with a bunch of other Padre stuff when we return, who is the Padres' most valuable player in the month of April? I honestly think Tim Hill is in the discussion. So
you might not be wrong, man.
I know. Let's think that through for just a second. Think about it out there. Who do you have as the Padres' most valuable player for the month of April? We'll kick that around. We'll talk a little more Padre baseball, everything else going on in sports. We're underway for a Monday. We're going to be joined by Kyle Glazer, Baseball America's outstanding writer, a little bit later in the show. Got the rest of our regular features, Chris versus the Fans, Big Five, Daily Gambit. We got a pregame show at 6 o'clock, Padre baseball at 7 o'clock, so settle in for a nice afternoon here on Southern California's number one sports talk station. We are 97.3 The Fan. Let's get rolling with some traffic.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
321. I'm here at Petco Park. Padres getting ready to start a three-game set against the Pittsburgh Pirates. They, and when I say they, Matt Scrappy, Chris Ello at the Odyssey Empire across the way, and a couple changes in the lineup. Derek Hosmer seems like he's going to get a day off today. As well as Jake Cronenworth, who has struggled, which leads me into the conversation, or really the question that Chris posed to me before we left for break, and that was, who is the current MVP, the MVP of April, if you will, for the San Diego Padres? And I think there's a few choices here.
Yeah.
We got some callers on the line that want to jump in, but Chris, I'll start with you, man. Since it was your question, who do you think's the MVP of April?
Yeah, I brought it up because you brought up Tim Hill, and the reason I bring up Tim Hill is because doing the post game show every night, Tony, or most nights, we have a relief pitcher of the game award, and I noticed the other night that I gave him the award after he escaped yet another jam. Bases loaded, one out, and struck out Ruff and struck out Talkman to get out of that big inning in the seventh on Friday night. And I gave him the relief pitcher of the game award that night, and I realized, you know, he's won this already like five times this year. I mean, you know, and it's just because he always seems to come in at the most crucial time of the game, and he escapes the rally. I mean, the only time he's given up runs was really the first – you know, appearance of the year when he gave up two of the three home runs he's allowed. Otherwise, I mean, he's just been – it's not just his ERA. It's not just his whip. It's not just his record or whatever all – you know, to me, it's the high-leverage situations that he's pitched in. I don't know that I would give him the trophy. I think a lot of people would say, nah, you can't quite give it to a middle reliever as your MVP. I mean, Mark Melancon, after all, is leading the major leagues 9-for-9 in saves, and he's been absolutely almost unhittable here in the month of April. I mean, it's pretty hard to overlook him in the same bullpen. I think it's also hard to overlook Yu Darvish, who has gone five consecutive games, allowing just one run in each of those five games. However, if Tim Hill doesn't get out of that jam the other night, he allows more than one run. And then on the offensive side, I think Eric Hosmer has probably been the most clutch of the Padres, 17 RBIs, 302 batting average. So I guess, I don't know, if I had to give an, I'd honestly probably go Melancon 1, Hosmer 2, Darvish 3. But Tim Hill would certainly be my unsung hero for the month of April. Can I at least give him that award?
Yeah, for sure. Listen, he would be on my list. He'd probably have to be fourth because of the other three guys and how often they get a chance and how often they have come through. You mentioned Melancon is perfect. Yu Darvish has been the ace that they've needed, especially considering the things they've gone through. And as you mentioned, Eric Hosmer has been the most clutch guy for a team that has struggled with runners in scoring position. He hasn't. He's hitting well above 300 in those spots there. And
yeah,
without him in the lineup, it'd be tough to find some wins in a few of those games where it was tough to score runs. But you're right, Tim Hill has been he's been next level this year. I mean, he was good last year in spots where they matched him up against lefties, and you really can't match up anymore because the three batter minimum. But he predominantly was used, you know, against lefties. This year, there's been lefties and righties that he has equally had success against, and it's been a lot of fun to watch. I mean, his energy, everything he brings to the table, I've really enjoyed watching him get through some of the jams. It seems like every time he comes in, there's some type of crazy jam that he has to find his way out, and
yeah,
he has almost every time. He's had one bad outing, and that was like the first series of the season. He gave
first game.
A couple homer, first game of the season. That's right.
First
gave
game.
Up the homers.
Yeah,
and since then he's been lights out.
He's been phenomenal, and you're right. I mean, his energy has been contagious. I mean, I know Fernando Tatis Jr. is kind of the energizing bunny for this team and the guy that everybody follows, but Tim Hill has done that for the bullpen. So there's been a lot of guys that have stepped up and made it a successful April, and, you know, hopefully we start hearing from some other guys. I think, you know, if you go into the category of, you know, who needs to step it up a little bit in the month of May, I don't want to say Manny Machado needs to step it up, because all he does is hit the ball hard almost every single at bat, Tony. Unfortunately, he's got a 231 average to show for it, and I just got to believe that that's going to even out for him. I mean, he's going to start, you know, putting a little more backspin on some of these balls and getting them over. I mean, if you're Manny Machado, you have to get to the point where you say, well, I'm going to have to hit them where they can't catch it anymore, because I'm getting tired of them running down my line drives. But, you know, I'd like to see Machado's average come up a little bit. He could have 25 RBIs right now instead of 17 if he had any kind of luck at all. Will Myers has gone into a bit of a slump, and I think it's been partly because he's been hurt. We've seen Cronenworth go into a little bit of a slump. Tommy Pham's kind of been in one all year, although he's starting to come out of it a little bit, slowly but surely here.
He got a 50-point raise in his average.
That's right, yes. He's starting to come out of it with some singles and things. I know he wants to start getting some more extra base hits. But, yeah, I'm starting to see Tommy Pham kind of come out of it. Obviously, Aaron Nola is going to be healthy now in the month of May, and that gives you another bat. So you're right when you say the Padres are 16-13, but they're not at the tip top of their game yet. There's a lot of guys that can do a lot better. I think Blake Snell's another guy that would like to start going regularly, at least get the sixth inning in. And I know that he's been frustrated by that. But, you know, look, there's a lot of room for improvement, and that's a good thing when you're sitting there just a game and a half out of first place.
Yeah, I mean, in the unsung category, we can't forget about Craig Stammen. How many times has he stepped in and given three innings on a day where you needed the bullpen for an extended amount of time? He's done that three or four occasions this year. So there's a lot of guys that have helped. It seems like most of them are on the pitching side because, as I said, the offense hasn't really been hitting on all cylinders. I want to jump to the phone lines because a few of our callers have their opinion on who the April MVP is for the Padres. We'll go with Bo in El Cajon. Bo, what's good, man? Happy Monday to you.
Hey, Bo.
How's it going, Tony and Chris?
Good.
It's going well. Who you got for your MVP of April?
So, so I got, like, my top two. But, you know, Yu Darvish has been, like, insane. Like, every outing if I'm not mistaken, he's gone at least into the seventh inning.
Everyone except the first.
Right, the first game.
Yeah, just so except for one game, he's gone at least into the seventh inning, and he's just been light out. Like you said, he's only given up one run his last five outings. And, you know, like he's the one that puts our bullpen, gives them a little break, you know.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But then, like Chris was saying with Tim Hill, whenever he comes in, you know, we're putting him in bad positions, honestly. Like we're putting him in with bases loaded, one out, like Friday, or runners on second and third, no outs, or something like that. And he always seems to just come out of it and just blow us all away and screaming in the stands, and it's just it's so hard to choose a top one.
Yeah,
but I would probably have to go with Yu Darvish, but Tim Hill is really up there for me.
Good job,
Tim Hill
good,
is really up there.
Yeah,
good call, Bo. Definitely, I would agree. It's got to be you because he's the ace, right? It's what he's been the opening day starter, the ace for a reason, and in days where the bullpen needed rest, we can go back to Pittsburgh. We can go to many of his starts. He's provided it, and that's what an ace is supposed to do.
That Bo brought up that was an excellent one. You're right, Tony. We talked about Stammen being so crucial and Tim Hill being so crucial coming out of the bullpen and Stammen having to – but what about Yu Darvish? The bullpen would be completely on fumes if it wasn't for Yu Darvish because, than he and Musgrove – the only two guys that are giving you a consistent six or seven innings every time through the rotation. So, yeah, it's a good call by Bo right there.
All right, let's go to Dexter. Dexter, welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show, my man. Happy Monday to you.
Oh, I hope Dexter's happy. Do you have criticisms today, Dexter, or are you just going to be joining the program as a normal guest today?
Normal guest today.
Normal
couple of points. One's kind of cool, one's kind of off the trail. I'm going to go off the trail first, and that's this weekend I was up at Disneyland, and I got, I was wearing my Padres gear, the cap, the road jersey, the pinstripe, and I'm telling you, in every line that I was in when I was walking through Disneyland, there were more Padre fans there, either wearing the gear or, like, when they saw me in my gear and we were talking Padres while we're waiting to get into, whatever attraction we're waiting for. It's amazing. There were no Angel fans, at least that I saw wearing gear. Hmm. And there were only two for the Dodgers. Only two. And one of them had the audacity, while I was waiting in line to get a soda, runs up to the guy who's, serving me. He goes, "Don't help this guy, man. He's a Padre fan. They killed us." And they took off. And I was like, just like a whiny little kitty. I'm trying to keep it G now.
Very
a whiny
good.
Little
go.
Kitty,
Please
and
do.
He took
Please
off.
Do. Very good.
Now, with regards to your topic, I think that one person that I think would be the April MVP is Caratini. Mm. I mean, this guy was supposed to be like a part-timer, and Nola goes down, and the guy's a warrior, man. Now, granted, his bat's been kind of, hit or miss, but the guy's been lights out behind the plate, man. I mean, he's Darvish's personal catcher, yeah. But, I mean, he caught a no-hitter. He called a no-hitter. He's made the other guys, regardless of whether it's Tim Hill or Stammen or whomever that they've, literally thrown at him, he's made them look like, MVP pitchers. So I think Caratini, the unsung hero for our team, at least in the first month of the season. What do you guys think?
Dexter, that's a sleepy one. I like that call. Thank you for the phone call. Listen, I remember what the thought process was when Nola went down. There wasn't panic, but there was a sense of concern in spring training when Nola's finger was broken and it didn't seem like he was going to get back in time. There was a sense of concern at camp. And I think it was pretty quickly that we realized Caratini would be able to at least handle the duties for the most part while Nola was gone. Because it became evident that Capistrano was struggling defensively and that pitchers were having a hard time throwing to him.
Yeah.
And once that popped up and Caratini showed that he could handle the role, he really, listen, I don't think it's a mistake that Joe has pitched to him pretty much every start, and he's having one of the best start to his career so far.
Yeah.
We know the start, Yu Darvish, that's his personal catcher. We've seen what has happened with him. And to be quite frank, the last couple starts we've seen Blake Snell throw to Caratini, and he has been better. So that's a sleepy one. I don't know that he has enough support in terms of on the offensive side. He's had some clutch moments too as well.
Yeah.
But he's certainly a guy that should be in the conversation. That's a dark horse, but good call though. Good call, Dexter.
I agree with that, 100%.
All right, let's step away, take a break. We know we got some more callers on the line. I believe Kathy and Richard are hanging in there. We will get to you guys when we return. Plus, Chris and I are going to discuss how it is that these pitchers keep kind of skipping the top prospect in the organization, which is Mackenzie Gore. What's going on there? We're going to talk a little bit about what we may think and what some of the reports are that have come out. And we'll get back to you. Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, welcome back at 3:40. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan, up until 6 o'clock tonight. Then it'll be a Padre pregame show. Braden Suprenant getting you ready for Padres and Pirates tonight. Question on the board right now, who do you have? Who do you have? Padres MVP for the month of April. We've got a lot of good candidates for that particular award. Seems like Yu Darvish is getting a lot of support. Eric Hosmer should be getting a little more support. Mark Melanson, I think, would be there. But what about Tim Hill? What about Tim Hill from the unsung category? We'll get more phone calls on that. 833-288-0973. One quick note, Tony, wanted to get your thoughts on that. Lineup is out for tonight's game. You mentioned it. Eric Hosmer will be getting the day off. Jake Cronenworth will start at first base tonight. Hassan Kim will play second base. But Trent Grisham and Fernando Tatis Jr. flopping in the order. Grisham will be batting leadoff tonight. Tatis will be hitting second tonight. Anything to that? Or just going to be flipping for the evening? What do you think?
No, I mean, they've done that the last three, four games. So I think this is the ideal setup they want. They want Trent Grisham leading off, and I think they want Fernando batting second. I think they had it the other way around to kind of get Fernando going.
Yeah.
Seems like he's already moving in the right spot. And you got a chance to see it actually, I think it was yesterday or the day before, why that lineup, the way it's constructed, having Grisham at the top performs. You get a situation where you're in a jam and you got Fernando up, he's going to see better pitches to hit because Manny's behind him. And if they decide to pick the poison of Manny Machado, then you may run into the risk of,
that's
of him taking
too,
you
yeah.
deep for a three-run homer like he did the other night. So I think this is the way they want to do it. I think they had it the other way to kind of get different guys going a little bit.
Yeah, one thing that I look at on the statistic page is Fernando Tatis Jr., home runs 8, RBIs 12. And it's not that his home runs are wasted. They're certainly not, and I don't mean to indicate that they are. But you like to at least have twice as many RBIs as you have home runs, and that's not Fernando's fault. He's just not getting to hit with as many runners on base. Now, if he bats second, hopefully some of these turn into two-run homers and change things around a little bit. I that's always been my feeling, but your reasoning makes just as much sense pitches to hit, too.
That's a good reason as well. I mean, I think ultimately the game has shifted from your best player hitting third
right.
to realizing maybe your best hitter hitting second because you're going to get more opportunities in that two-hole. So
yeah.
I think that really ultimately is what's behind it. But when you got a lineup as deep as the Padres, you can afford to play around with it a little bit.
All right, let's get back to these phone calls. As mentioned, then we're going to talk a little bit about Mackenzie Gore. Before we get to the calls, though, let's check on traffic real quick here at 97.3 The Fan. A quick reminder to this hour on 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by Dell Technologies. Dell Technologies and Windows can help you upgrade your business tech with the Small Business Month specials. Save up to 45% on PCS with Windows 10 Pro, plus business docs, monitors, and more. Work anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. Call a Dell Technologies advisor, 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Our number, 833-288-0973. Who do you have as the Padres' first month MVP for the 2021 season? Kathy always has a good opinion one way or the other. She joins the program. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Hi, Kathy.
I'm doing good. I got to go to the game on Saturday night, which was like
pretty
awesome being back in that stadium.
Sure.
I have a hard time picking Caratini just because after watching Salvador Perez for the past 10 years and him not catching less than, I think, 130 games a season except for a couple of years, you know, him having to, Caratini had to do so many games in a row really doesn't seem that big of a deal to me. But to me, Darvish would be there. You'd think I'd pick Hosmer, but I'm not. And I think it's more the bullpen as a whole, because I think with the bullpen, with how short some of these guys are going, the starters are going. If it hadn't been for the bullpen, I don't think we'd be in the position that we're in right now.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's a good call, Kathy. All right, we'll give it to everybody. We'll they'll all get up on stage and accept the April award. Not a bad thought. Not a bad thought, Kathy. Thank you very much for the call.
So do you think Mark Melancon needs to share his NL Reliever of the Month award with the rest
he
of the
would.
Bullpen?
I think he would be the first to say that he would do something like that.
Okay.
I mean, any decent relief pitcher, any decent closer, especially a veteran the likes of Melancon, is going to know that he doesn't get nine saves if it isn't for Pomeranz and Pagan and Hill and Kayla and everybody else before him. I mean, he just doesn't get the opportunities. So, you know what's funny, Tony, is, I mean, a month ago, just prior to the start of the season, that was the biggest question the Padres had, right?
Yep.
Who's the closer?
Who's going to be the closer?
Who's going to be the closer? We had no idea. Everybody was guessing, is it going to be Pomeranz? Is it going to be Pagan? Is it going to be Kayla? Is it going to be Melancon? That's one question they don't have. They have a lot of other question marks now have popped up in the last month or so, but that's one that they don't have. Mark Melancon has.
We were pressing Jace Tingler, too, for that answer. Like, who's the closer, Jace? Who's the closer?
I wonder if you asked him now what he would say. Well, you know, I'm still kind of thinking it through, but Melancon has it for the moment. He's been absolutely beyond anything they could have expected. And remember, you know, he was kind of a late addition to this bullpen, right?
Well, they got him at a bargain. There's no doubt.
Yeah. I mean, it's really a good thing they picked him up. All right, let's go to Richard in Hillcrest. His thoughts here on Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Richard, welcome to the show.
What's up, Richard?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
First of all, isn't it great to talk about baseball again?
Isn't it? It's a lot better than last May. I was thinking of that today. We didn't even
sure
have,
is.
We didn't even have a Kentucky Derby to talk about last May. So this is
no,
really
hey.
Nice.
I want to pay Chris a compliment. I've listened to every single Padre game on the radio this year, and Chris, you make it fun. I really like your insight. I enjoy listening to you guys on the radio. And my MVP would be Darvish, by far.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good MVP call, but let's not go past the first thing he said there. That
I think he's mistaking someone. I think so. No, I'm just kidding.
Richard, thank you very much for the kind words. Vote for you, Darvish, from Richard. Why would you vote for Darvish?
Oh, let me get him back.
Oh, he's still there?
There he is. There?
Yeah, he's just been steady. He's been consistent. He's on a roll.
Yeah.
I mean, he's lived up to his billing. Let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, like I said, he's been an ace. It's been a long time since the Padres have had, like, a legitimate ace. You know what I'm saying? Last year.
Jake Peavy, maybe?
Yeah.
Are we
that's
going
probably,
back that far?
That's probably the last time. That was what when I was here, 09. He was the last. So that's about 11 years before, or 12 years since they've had an ace that we could point to immediately and be like, all right, who's the ace of your staff? Boom, that guy.
Yeah.
It's for 12 years. It's kind of been like, I mean, I guess the 1 year Shields could have been the ace going in, right? I mean, but. There wasn't a guy this steady where you knew you'd get a minimum of six, maybe more, every start.
I know. It's really remarkable. I mean, he's got a 1.35 ERA. If you take out his opening start, he's got a 0.89 walks and hits to innings pitch. He's got 49 strikeouts to 11 walks, which is spectacular. He got over the 100 pitch mark tonight. But you know what's funny, Tony? He's been over 95 in every other start. So it's not like that was just a one-time thing. He's doing that consistently. And you know, it kind of goes back to my point about the bullpen. At the beginning of the season, I'll be honest with you, actually in spring training, there was a time we were asking, hey, who would you start on opening day? Remember that?
Yeah.
It wasn't 100% sure that we would go with you, Darvish. I mean, Blake Snell was a possibility. Denelson Lamet, we didn't know if he'd be healthy or not. But you, Darvish, is clearly now become the ace of the staff. I don't think there's any question. And I really...
You know the thing I noticed is that it seems like Jace has a lot of trust in him. Like,
right.
In situations where you could almost predict somebody would be coming out of the game, he has been allowed to stay in. And he's been golden every time. And I think that is the type of trust all managers want to have in all of their pitchers. But the reality is, you got to earn that, and you seemingly has earned that for sure.
No question. And I think Blake Snell, I kind of hope that Blake Snell right now is hearing the noise that you, Darvish, is clearly the ace of this staff. Because I would think that that's something that motivates Blake Snell to start saying, hey, I got to start going six or seven innings. I just have to. I have to start living up to my end of that bargain, because Blake Snell was as big of an acquisition as Darvish was, frankly. And, you know, five innings. He's only got one out in the sixth inning so far this year. And we'll talk more about that as the program goes along. He's still, to me, he's still pitching well enough to keep the Padres in every single start except for one. And so there's nothing totally negative about Blake Snell. But he's not up to the level of Yu Darvish yet. And it's still a long season. He may eventually get right there. And I think that that's what he's working towards. All right, let's move on to Eric on Gwynn and Chris joins the program here on this Monday afternoon. Hi, Eric. What's going on?
How's it going, guys?
We're going well.
Going well, Eric.
Well, I got to watch my very first Padre game after the pandemic, and I went on Friday night and saw Yu Darvish. Seven innings, 12 strikeouts. The guy is on fire.
Yes, he was.
Is that your MVP of April?
Yes, sir, and I also wanted to point out one thing that stood out to me in April also. Three
Go
words. Cronenworth strikes out Betts.
I really enjoy the reaction with those four words.
It was four words, but I'm going to let him get away with it because he was accurate.
And he hung up.
He dropped the mic on that.
We need to rack him. Someone texted me. You guys want to do your Mackenzie Gore thoughts real quick?
Did someone texted you that?
Yeah, they're like, are the guys going to talk Mackenzie Gore? I'm not joking. And I said, yes, calm down.
Well, we're also taking phone calls. There's a lot of people involved in the show.
I
don't know. Are we doing the show just for this texter?
Well, we have no more phone calls. We have no more phone calls.
So whatever this texter wants us to talk about is what we're going to talk about?
I've already given too much attention to the texter.
Yes, you have. You've given far too much attention to the texter. Let the program move along. We have people calling in. They want to vote on their MVP. So we're trying to appease everybody here.
By the way, you know, for a long time, Scrape was the one that, like, wanted us to take more phone calls, and now we're taking phone calls, and he wants us to stop taking phone calls and talk about Mackenzie Gore.
We didn't have any phone calls.
It's hard to please this man, you know. before I get my knee cut on, I got the anesthesia guy telling me, you know, we need to take it easy on Scraby. This is why we don't take it easy on him right here, because he pounds us over the head all the time.
Hey, we got a call.
I'm done.
I'm done.
All right, let's go. Let me ask you real quick,
call.
Tony. Now, I know we do, but we...
Chris, we got a call. Chris is going
to
lose
Chris
his mind
is going to punch
Scraby
today,
really
I'm telling you guys.
Do I need to remind you what's going on?
What do you want me to do?
We got a call.
All right. Would you like me to take the call?
Please.
Or would you like me to ask about Mackenzie Gore right now?
We can talk Mackenzie Gore at 420.
Sorry.
Tony, you can't even see my face right now, but the funny thing is he can see it because he's seen it enough.
I could feel the steam coming through my computer right now.
Clay, welcome to the show. How are you, buddy?
What's up, Clay?
Hey, I'm fine, guys. Hey, my MVP is actually two. It's got to be Caratini and you.
Both
because them. Without you, there's no Caratini. Without Caratini, there's no you. I really believe that.
Mm. Well, they work well together. That's for sure. It's a good thing. I'll tell you one thing. It's a good thing Darvish required that Caratini come along in the trade, because that's worked out nicely. I mean, honestly, where would the Padres be if they had what would be their catching situation, Tony, if they hadn't picked up Caratini and they went into it with Nola and Campusano, right? And Nola was injured.
Yeah. Well, I hate to say it. I think they'd be in some trouble. I think they would be in a lot of trouble. This is the first year that – I'm sorry I'm laughing because I just got a text from our boss saying that he was not the texter. He wanted to make sure, Chris, that you knew it was not him texting Scraby about
it. That's correct. He did not text me.
I didn't think it was.
Gosh, I lost my thought. Where were we at?
We were just talking about where the catching situation would be if Darvish didn't bring Caratini with him.
This is the first year I've noticed how much of an impact behind the plate has on certain guys.
Oh, yeah.
And it seems like there are more than a couple guys that were impacted when Caratini wasn't behind the plate. So
it's a big deal, and that's why Austin Nola getting back healthy is going to be a big deal, too. This pitching staff's going to be even better. All right, we will get to Mackenzie Gore. We'll talk about him.
What about
Never
phone calls?
Fear. We'll get the phone calls. We'll also get to Chris versus the fans. 833-288-0973. Honestly, we'll just do whatever Scraby tells me to do when we come back.
I'm into that.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.